Russo's question. Russ, would you take a seat, please?
Yes.
And we'll let Del Dot come up.
So is there any way we could go back to that lane?
Which one?
The question that...
LUTP?
Yeah.
Okay. The one that's in the coordination manual?
Yeah.
Okay. I think this is probably the best one, because it...
Cool, thanks.
Thank you.
So to answer the question about the land use transportation plan there, when we did the update in 2022, long story short, yes, there is an updated plan that went into it. We started from the ground up, pretty much we revisited the 2018 Henlopen TID study, looked at land use forecasts and figured out, okay, what do we know now versus what we knew then? And we did the updates as needed based on any of the known zoning and the proposed land uses or the estimated land uses at that time. And then we pretty much updated the projections from there. They changed slightly. And we updated the capacity analysis, the traffic analysis, did this level of service analysis to pretty much ensure service standards were met of level of service D or better. The conclusion of the study was the 2018 findings from the Henlopen TID were adequate enough to handle the projected volumes still at that time. I think the only other thing that we'll have to do when Sarah's back is, I think on the websites, we just need to make sure we publish something so the public can access this and see that current land use transportation plan. So that'll all be documented for everybody.
Okay, thank you.
I have one question.
Yeah, you too, just go ahead.
Come on, guys.
Go.
Was there any reason why the data was not included on the Beaver Dam, as he was pointing out, or was it in fact included and it just wasn't printed somewhere as well?
Coastal
corridors. Yeah, can we go back? So first of all, and Nate can speak a bit to those intersections, but the coastal corridors specifically had a geographic area that took into account outside of the TID. So it was looking at volume and trips like coming over from Maryland and like over the Bay Bridge. So it was in the section of like 404 area 16. So those are why it was those specific intersections above. And then Nate can explain the reason why. Yeah, that's the reason why, but we do have information on those.
Yeah, they weren't included in the coastal corridor study, but these are included in the Henlopen TID. So
yeah,
we do have kind of overlapping studies. So these have been looked at as part of some of our long-term planning.
So the information has been accounted for?
Yes.
Yeah. Is the Henlopen TID, is that a more specific analysis of that geographical area than the corridor study? Or I just don't know. I mean...
I believe it is. I don't know, Pam, if you can speak better.
Parcel by parcel, you know, that level.
Yeah, the Henlopen TID is a parcel by parcel, but the coastal corridors is a longer range forecasting. So it was specifically trying to figure out the trends and the ways that people came from Maryland. So that whole study, like Richard said, is on the web. We can explain that. I don't know if it's the time to do that, but I'd be happy to bring down our experts like for that if you want to talk about that.
Another, Ms. Wingate, did you have any others? So the Mulberry Knoll Road extension, focus on, you know, the part that is part of this application.
Mm-hmm.
Was that part of the TID? I mean, in other words, was it going to get built at some point, or is it accounted for in the TID, whether the subdivision got applied for and approved or not? I mean, was that always a connected road that was in the TID?
Yeah, it was always considered by the TID as a TID improvement, regardless of who was developing or anything that way.
Okay.
And the full length of it, too.
Okay. So... in terms of this proposal, is it safe to say that the construction of Mulberry Knoll Road really is neutral as regard to this application? It's more about the timing of it, potentially, when it gets done, whether it's, you know, part of Del Dot's CTP for this one-third of it, or whether it's front-loaded by this developer, is that?
Yeah, I would say it's neutral. When we were looking at the Mulberry Knoll connection, it was more to relieve pressure off of Route 1, which we talked about, as well as Plantation Road was the other one that we were trying to relieve a lot of pressure off of, kind of give another north-south connection.
And if there are, and Nate can correct me, but if and when there are other developments that come online that are encompassed as part of the extension, we would do the same thing in like asking the, you know, developer to build that section in advance for a recoupment.
And this one's going to be a softball question that I know the answer to, and I think most of the commission does, but the public may not. Huh? We have this happen all the time with the level of service. People equate those letters to grades you get in school. And it's my understanding from all the conversations we've had with DelDOT and working on all this that is not an apples-to-apples comparison. So maybe if you could explain, because in the TID agreement, it talks about the acceptable level of service being a D, you know, and I don't want to get into a whole lot of detail, but for the benefit of the public who may not know what that means, because you hear D, you think, well, shoot, I wish I didn't get any D's in school, you know. You want to have some frame of reference for that. So maybe if you could, one of you guys or Todd or whoever, so explain what that means a little bit.
You take that one,
Pam? Yeah, do you want to do a bit, and then I can add my two cents in.
I'm a traffic engineer, so I could go on for days about
Please
level
don't.
Service, but we won't. The easiest way to look at it that I always think is level service D or better, so A, B, C, or D, is we generally think of that as level service D is we are approaching our available capacity. Once you get to level service E, you're pretty much at capacity, maybe slightly over it. We describe it as unstable flow. So depending on the driver coming through, if people are very aggressive, it may be okay. But if you have a somewhat cautious driver, it may break the traffic flow down. So that's why we refer to it as unstable. We don't have much room for error there. And level service F is we are over capacity. You're going to be seeing the bottlenecks consistently and things like that. So level service D, it's pretty much approaching capacity is the best way to think about it.
Yeah, and Nate, if you can just explain, is that only in one of the, like in the peak PM, like in the peak PM hours, or is it both AM and PM?
Yeah, so when we talk about level of service, we're looking at typically usually the weekday AM and the PM peak hours is what we will look at.
And it's for intersections only. It has nothing to do with the actual segments in between.
Yeah, and it's intersection based from a level of service standpoint. The segment side of things, when we were looking at widening purposes, that was looking at available capacity in the roadway versus how much volume was being projected to be on them. If the volume was projected to be above the available capacity, that's when we were going into our widening improvements and things like that.
Yeah, and just to because I am an engineer, but I'm not a traffic engineer, what I also like to kind of think of it as the actual time. So I try to correlate it to the actual like delay time that it takes from a D to an E. So we have, just as a department, we have seen speed endangers lives. We have had a huge problem with safety. So holistically throughout the U.S., plus in Delaware, we are looking more and more at being, quote, quote, okay with E in certain areas that have had high, that have, you know, have certain factors. Now, it is not the same for like every single road. We are just looking on a case-by-case basis as to whether or not E would be good in certain situations. And Nate may know exactly, but I think the timing between level of service D and E is like 20-some seconds. 30-some seconds?
It's 20? It's 20 seconds. Yeah, it's once you get above 55 seconds.
Yeah, so that's why I just try to impress upon it. It's literally in the PM or AM peak hours, like, it's literally 22 seconds, 23 seconds, 20 seconds that you're going to wait in through the intersections. So that's my two cents as an engineer, non-traffic engineer.
And just to close that gap too, just again with the TID, you know, I'm having, and I know Mr. Brasso is involved in it too, and I think the Planning Zoning Commission, certainly County Council, those levels of services were calculated at all the intersections. existing and with the build-out, and that's what led to the determination of whether improvements were needed at the intersections, and then that's what led to the cost analysis of what those improvements would cost, which then led to the developer contribution. So all that's been studied within the TID?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to, again, sort of get that on the record. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay, Ms. Hicks.